Five hosts, four divisions, all battling it out for the Holy Grail of the American Hockey League, the Calder Cup. This is the Holy Grail Podcast. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Paul, Zach Power, Andrew Rinaldi, Corey Swartz, and Dina Weinheimer.
Well, hello, and welcome to the first episode of Season 2, overall episode 36 of Field Pass Hockey's AHL podcast, The Holy Grail. Guys, it's time for the 2022-23 AHL season. Are we ready? That's the big question.
I was born ready.
So, Andrew, I know this isn't in the script, but right off the bat, what are you feeling about Chicago?
Suffering from success is the way that I'd put it. Lots of new faces all across, from the number one guy down to the peanut vendors. It's going to be a whole new season of changes. But you know what? It's exciting. If there's anything that this organization's taught you, it's don't count them out. So it's been a long summer, it's been kind of a short summer. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to roll.
Well, speaking of changes. A couple of changes here in the podcast. Nothing really big. Your favorite hosts are back. Jeremy will be back possibly mid-show. He got caught into a meeting at his day job. So hopefully he'll be joining us here in a little bit. But basically the same hosts from late last season are all back. The big changes are, if you're on YouTube, you notice we have a nice little opening graphic. Just all new refresh graphics, and we have a new refreshed, basically, flow of the show. We have some new fun segments for you guys. Honestly, all of that won't be revealed fully until about the third week of us being here in our now weekly shows. So once we get into the season, you'll guys see that in its full effect, but you'll get a little sneak peek today. So enough about that. Since it has been a little bit since we talked, we're going to give you just a quick refresher of who we all are and let you get reacclimated to our voices, because honestly, we haven't talked for a few months. So let's keep it nice and simple. Andrew, as always, we're going to kick it off with you.
For sure. So for those who have forgotten this lovely face or this lovely voice or any combination of the two, my name is Andrew Rinaldi. I am about to begin my third season on the beat for the Grand Rapids Griffins and the 2022 Calder Cup champion Chicago Wolves. It was a fun ride. I'm ready to get right back on the horse and do it all over again.
And I guess I'll go next. I'm Corey Swartz. I joined this podcast a little late last season, more towards the playoff run, a little bit in the regular season there, but I mostly cover the Hershey Bears, and I'm kind of the Atlantic Division guy at this point, since I'm, you know, the lone wolf up here. So I was a Springfield Thunderbirds guy down the stretch last season, all the way up to the finals, and yeah, just excited to get back at it and, you know, talk some more hockey all year long, honestly.
And I'm Dina Weinheimer, one of two managing editors here at Field Pass Hockey. Entering my fourth season here, I used to be on the Cleveland Monsters beat, but I have since moved on into a bigger, I guess, covering everybody that we don't currently have a writer for / feature writer role, but back here on the pod, back with my friends here, and just ready for a nice season of hockey.
Yeah, and I'm Zach Power. I've been patiently waiting a long summer. It's been a long summer without AHL hockey, and I definitely haven't burned any of my fingers yet, but it's going to be a long season for that yet, and I look forward to being on the show.
New season, new opportunities, Zach.
Yeah, speaking of Zach, I believe, aren't we going to be celebrating something today? Maybe next week. Okay. Well, we stay tuned for, I'm sure if not next week, the week after, we'll have a little bit of a celebration.
I will let you know.
Okay.
That's okay.
Cool. You guys will want to stick around for that. So I guess time for the first segment of the show. And that's going to be breaking news.
That's a new graphic.
Isn't that a new graphic?
Up, man. I'm liking the things that we got going on here.
Yeah. We have nice little intro graphics. It needs a sound yet. Still working on that, but it's preseason. We're good. Mm-hmm. We're good. So, I mean, honestly, what other news do we need to cover than the 2022-23 American Hockey League season is upon us? We kind of already talked about it, but I mean, honestly, that's the news right now. I mean, training camps are underway, with some teams actually already are going to be getting preseason games under their belt starting on Wednesday, October 5th. Corey, aren't the Bears jumping into action that day?
Yeah, the Bears start the calendar of preseason play with a 10:30 a.m. game in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton for the first of three playoff games for them. I don't know who made the decision. It wasn't up to me. I will be listening intently from my desk at work tomorrow morning, so it'll be giving me something to break up my morning with. But really excited to get the season started for the Bears. It feels like it's been forever since I was, at the rink watching some hockey, and I've been seeing a lot of shots from their training camp there. Very full training camp for them to start things off here, but very excited. I know we're going to be talking a lot about them here in this show for sure.
Are they going to be serving coffee and like pancakes and scrambled eggs at the game or something? I mean, 10:30, that's absurd.
Yeah, it feels more like a joint practice than a game at that time of day for sure. But I've been seeing on Twitter some friendly banter that the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins front office staff should be providing everybody with some Gatorade or something like that there to start off that game. Is it's just a bizarre time. We'll see only like one or two other times like that during the season for the Bears. But yeah, definitely an interesting way to start off the preseason, you know, in installment. I guess we're adding on to 12 with two more, so 14 overall with the Baby Penguins this season. So it's good to get the blood pumping with a rivalry matchup right off the bat.
I always found it fascinating because some teams here, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later on, but some teams just fill their preseason in the American Hockey League with games against regional rivals, regional opponents. And then there are some teams, even though they have teams close by, I'm looking at you, Cleveland, that they don't play a single preseason game. They have basically their entire roster already to go up there. There's just a few fringe players that the Blue Jackets are waiting on, but they never play a preseason game. It's just,
and I think a lot of that boils down to, like, many teams nowadays can actually pick more or less their schedule. I mean, now it has to add up to 72, but that's why you do see a lot of those differences. And we've talked about it a lot last season where, you know, you might see Grand Rapids play Ontario and two completely different sides of the coin, but it's just more or less how your team wants to play and who your team wants to play. And I guess that all rolls down to the preseason as well.
Agreed. So we are going to go ahead and move on a little bit to, I guess, not really a new segment, but another new graphic with our weekly news recap. So we're actually right now going to spend just a few minutes recapping some of the biggest news stories from the offseason and leading into the 2022-23 AHL season. So, of course, the big one right now are the Coachella Valley Firebirds. They have officially been welcomed as part of the American Hockey League. They have their first head coach in Dan Bylsma. They have a roster that's pretty much already taken shape. There might be a few decisions. Of course, it's led by none other than friend of the podcast and two-time John B. Sullenberger Trophy winner, Andrew Podorowski. They have a mascot named Fuego. However, the one piece that's still missing is they don't have a finished arena yet. So actually, the Firebirds aren't going to be hosting their first home game in Acrisure Arena until Sunday, December 18th. Yes, December, as in the month of Christmas and all those holidays. So they will be having their home games this month in Seattle, which is the home of their NHL affiliate, Kraken. And then all of the games in November and the first half of December are going to be on the road. Just brutal.
That's a tough ask to ask for any team. That's a long road trip. I didn't realize that the arena wasn't going to be finished till December. Oof.
Yep. Well, I mean, it'll be a nice time to welcome them back because they're going to be spending quite a bit of time, if I remember right, up in Canada. So I'm sure they'll be excited to get back to sunny Coachella Valley. So I guess we'll just move right on in. Speaking of Canada, the Stockton Heat have now moved to Canada, rebranded as the Calgary Wranglers. So the AHL affiliate of the NHL's Calgary Flames now share a home city and a home arena with their parent club. I mean, gosh, guys, other than the Barracuda last season, that has to be one of the easiest, like, call up, send down procedures ever in hockey.
Making a joke about like keeping the same lockers even when you get called up, like it's a nice homey feel, but
yeah, every transaction's a paper transaction in that respect for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for the Toronto Marlies, they practice in the same arena as the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they're like a dual arena. So every now and again, you'll see a player kind of just walk across the hall and go down to the next rink, and that's kind of the way it is. They pretty well Uber to the Scotiabank Arena to play their games in the NHL.
Do you think we see a record amount of transactions just to get these guys some practice time with the big club?
Maybe. There were a lot of transactions last year with taxi squads and just protocols and everything. I don't know if we reached some of those numbers. It was kind of crazy. The Wolves set a record for the most goalies ever put on a roster in their franchise. So I love the idea. Maybe they'll save some of the paperwork and just like sneak some guys in with some unnumbered jerseys and in practice or something.
Fair. So, all right, now this is going to end up being the bulk of the show here. We're going to now talk about head coaching changes for the 2022-23 AHL season. There were quite a few. Some of them were interim being made, I guess, full-time official head coaches, and some were just outright changes. So we're going to go down all that list. And then next week, we're going to talk about some of the more marquee names that have moved on to new teams, as well as a lot of other changes and things in the league. So for this week, we're just going to be focusing on the head coaches. So first, we're going to talk about, again, the coaches who were interim head coaches now being named the official head coach for the team. And we're going to start off with the Bakersfield Condors.
Yeah, going back to California. Colin Chalk, he took over for Jay Woodcroft when the midseason call came up and he got the big call up to Edmonton. Chalk took over midseason and helped push the Condors to a berth in the playoffs. They lost to, of course, the Stockton Heat because that's what the Heat does. But apparently they were happy enough to take that interim tag off and give Chalk the full-time position there as head coach over there in Bakersfield. So congratulations to him, and we'll see what the Condors do.
Yeah, another shift as well in the AHL with the interim coaches is Anders Sorensen with Rockford. As some of you guys may remember, he took over as interim head coach in November, and he led his team to a 35-26-5 record over his time. So I guess it's good for him. They ended up losing in the playoffs to Chicago. So I guess they're looking for a much better season than what they had last season as well under the new head coach.
Now it's time for this massive list of outright coaching changes. So settle in, buckle up, get ready, because there's quite a few. We will not be quizzing you on this, but it's good to know. But first, we're going to just go in alphabetical order. It's nice and easy. So let's start off with the Abbotsford Canucks.
Yeah. So Trent Cull, who spent 13 seasons behind the bench in the AHL, is now an assistant coach with Bruce Boudreau's staff in Vancouver. and taking over for Cull's Jeremy Collision, who previously was a head coach for the Rockford IceHogs, taking them to a trip to the 2018 conference finals. Collision also spent parts of four seasons as a head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks and was a member of the coaching staff for the Canadian men's team at the 2022 Winter Olympics.
And speaking of Chicago, our Calder Cup champion, reigning Calder Cup champions, they need a new bench boss with Ryan Warsawski getting called up to the NHL. He was an assistant coach for that 2019 Calder Cup team with the Charlotte Checkers, and then became head coach for the Carolina affiliates in Charlotte and then here in Chicago. Obviously, a head coach of the championship team last year. Now he's up there in an assistant in, on the West Coast in San Jose. The Wolves kind of just looked right down the road for his replacement for coach with Brock Shahan. Shahan's going to be joining in with the Wolves from the USHL Chicago Steel, as I alluded to, kind of right down the road, and bringing a lot of good energy with them. I had a talk with him a couple weeks ago, and I think fans are really going to like a similar kind of style. Maybe not exactly what Warsawski brought to the table, but I think he's got all the tools to really be successful there with the reigning champions.
Speaking of looking close to home, Cleveland did just that. So the Cleveland Monsters have moved on from who was the AHL's oldest head coach in Mike Eaves to someone who is now the youngest head coach in the American Hockey League in Trent Vogelhuber. Now, Mike Eaves, you guys had heard me talk about it quite a bit last season, had that shoulder injury, just had a few other things that kept him off the bench. And it was kind of written on the wall. You know, Vogelhuber stepped up into that role, even though he wasn't officially like an interim head coach or something. He basically was without the actual tag. But Eaves has moved on from coaching. He is now serving as a pro scout for the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, you know, this is Ohio native Vogelhuber's first head coaching job, but he is no stranger to the Monsters. He won the Calder Cup with Cleveland in 2016, and he's been an assistant coach for the past four seasons. So he knows the systems. He knows the players. He's a real player-friendly coach. The fans love him up there, and I think this was a great move on Cleveland's part.
Yeah, and someone else who's no stranger to being a bench boss is Dan Bylsma with Coachella Valley. And I know that we already touched on this a little bit, but going down through his resume, I had to write this down. He's a 2009 Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup champion. He won the Jack Adams Award for Most Outstanding Coach in 2010 and 11. Head coach of the United States men's Olympic team in 2014 at the Olympic Games. And he spent last year with the Seattle Kraken. And also looked over some prospects with Charlotte as well. So it'll be a pretty good move. And I actually think that he could be one of the best AHL coaches around for this season.
Yeah, moving right along with that, the Hershey Bears had to announce a almost entirely brand new coaching staff for coaching hire 28 in their 85-year history, which they celebrated this season, as Scott Allen, along with Emily Engelmatsky, the Bears video coach, were both promoted to the Washington Capitals. Emily's filling in her, you know, previous role, similar thing for the Capitals. But Scott Allen moves on to an assistant coaching gig, kind of more focused on the defensive side there. And with that, defenseman Patrick Weller, who is, or I should say former defenseman, now assistant head coach, is Patrick Weller is now the last man standing behind the bench. The Bears filled it out. They have hired Todd Nelson to fill that void, a one-time Bears defenseman way back in 1995-96 as a player, along with Nick Bootland, another former Bear, giving the Bears three former players behind their bench on game day staff. And, you know, he took the Grand Rapids Griffins to a Calder Cup championship in 2017, had a brief stint in the NHL with the Edmonton Oilers, and he returns off of coaching as an assistant with the Dallas Stars.
Over to the West Coast, Los Angeles fans are going to be seeing a familiar face with their AHL affiliate there in Ontario. Longtime NHL forward Marco Sturm will get his first look at the AHL this fall with the Reign. Ontario's new head coach played 938 NHL games and also has extensive experience representing Germany internationally as a player and as a head coach. Sturm, who is 44 years old, was with the parent Los Angeles Kings as assistant coach for the past four seasons, and now you're going to get a look at what he can do as head coach behind the bench down there in Ontario.
Well, it seems like some of these regional teams are kind of following the same MO here, and San Diego also turning to somebody who has a ton of experience and that people know quite well. So the San Diego Gulls turning to Roy Sommer to head up that team. Now, he has spent 24 seasons with the Sharks organization as their AHL head coach. The 65-year-old has 1,742 games and 808 wins under his belt, each ranking first all-time in AHL history. He won the Lewis A.R. Peary Memorial Award as the league's outstanding coach in 2016 and 17. Just a lot of transition in his life, but someone very familiar with the game, and I think it's going to really help San Diego to overcome some of the issues that they had in past seasons.
Yeah, and speaking of San Jose's got quite the plate this year with a new home, New Jersey, and now a new head coach. And it's a young head coach, too, relatively for the AHL, 36-year-old John McCarthy. Now, he has 4 years of experience as a captain for AHL affiliates in Worcester and San Jose, 552 games played, 552 games, rather, were with the Sharks organization of his, 577 in the AHL. So that's all. He's been moving on. He's been a member of the San Jose Sharks for quite some time, 11-season career coaching-wise. McCarthy has been developing for the Barracuda for the past 2 years and working under that organization. So it's a fine pickup for them, and as they look to turn their season around from a very poor season last season.
Yeah, and finally, the Arizona Coyotes found a familiar face to replace head coach Jay Vrady in Tucson, who moved over to the Detroit Red Wings as an assistant coach. And now the Roadrunners will be coached by Steve Potvin, who had previously led the Roadrunners in 2020-21 when Vrady spent the season as a member of Arizona's coaching staff. The 47-year-old Potvin enters his sixth season with the Roadrunners and seventh season with the Coyotes organization in 2022-23. He served as a skills coach in 2016-17 before joining the Roadrunners as an assistant coach for their inaugural season the year later in 2017-18.
So that is all of the head coaching moves. If we also did assistant or associate coaches or goalie coaches, we would be here into next week. And yeah. So head coaching moves, guys, what are your initial thoughts? Is there anyone that you feel like took a step back or maybe, you know, is going to be missing their previous head coach more than the others without saying Chicago?
I don't want to say I'm a little baffled by what Abbotsford did, but maybe I'm a little more sensitive being on the Chicago beat and seeing what more people from Chicago are saying, but Jeremy Carlton didn't really do a whole lot to inspire faith in Blackhawks fans during his tenure there. And now he didn't necessarily have the best roster either. That wasn't like he was working with the mid 2010s Chicago Blackhawks. It was a little different there for Jeremy. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that, but I really liked what the direction Abbotsford was going, especially with Trent Cole at the helm at the end of last season. So maybe I'm a little skeptical there. I guess that's the way I'll put it. I mean, if he comes out and he puts the results up, then it's going to shut me up really quick, I think. And I hope he does. I really hope he does.
I look at Marco Sturm, and I think that he has a lot of potential to be a really great head coach. And I mean, especially given time playing international hockey and representing Germany for such a long time, and then playing so many NHL games as well, he really knows the system. But he's got a tall plate on his hands with a lot of changes in Ontario over the summer, completely So he's got a lot to look at in a season where it was really theirs to have besides Stockton and Chicago.
Now, personally for me, I love that Dan Bylsma hiring in Coachella Valley. I mean, I got to talk to him a little bit earlier in the summer. It was basically almost written in the stars whenever Seattle came to him over a year ago and said, hey, we need somebody to kind of sit in and help our prospects playing in Charlotte with the Checkers while we kind of get our own AHL team started here. And of course he graduated per se, or got promoted into that head coaching role, but someone with that kind of resume under his belt, that kind of coaching ability, and then someone who also knows some of those younger players, you know, he knows how they work. He knows how to coach them already. That was a smart move.
I guess I'll go with a beat bias here, and I'm going to say that the Bears did a fantastic job hiring Todd Nelson, and I'll tell you why, because I feel that in Hershey, you have to hit a trifecta as a head coach. You have to understand Hershey, which is, you know, not always a given sometimes. You have to be able to win, and you have to be able to develop. And, you know, you hit all three of those things, and Todd Nelson's done all of those things. Had a little bit of an in with Bears Vice President of Hockey Operations, Brian Helmer, who he coached at the tail end of his playing career, you know, way back when, you know, a little after the 2010-11 season, I believe. But, you know, it takes a lot to understand Hershey. And, you know, Todd Nelson's been there. I mean, it was one season, but it also happened to be his most productive season as a player. He's won, you know, got the Calder Cup, you know, a couple of times as an assistant head coach. And he's developed players. I mean, he's been an integral part of a couple different setups as a development coach. And, you know, just from what I've seen in training camp, I love him so far.
All right. Well, that's it for the coaching changes. Now we're going to move into a segment we all know and love. Swipe left and swipe right. The rules are the same, guys. We're going to offer up hot takes and then we're all going to judge them. Swipe right if we like it, swipe left if we don't. And the infamous super swipe once a month is back in play this season. Again, we're going to keep it simple because preseason's rough enough on us. We don't need to be changing up the order that much yet. So, Andrew, lead us off.
For sure. And I'm just going to start my campaign slogan right now. Justice for Potts. I mean, I was all on board with him finally getting that one-year deal or one-way deal in the offseason. I thought he finally had his chance with Seattle. And not even like the last round of cuts in training camp, and he's already been put on waivers and is cleared and has been designated for assignment in Coachella, which it just blows my mind. What more does this guy need to prove at this league? I mean, for the last 3 years, it's been the Podorolski show in this, and it's been his league. He's got one playoff MVP. He's got two scoring titles. He's got two championships back to back. What more do you really want to see from this guy? And I mean, call me crazy, but I'm not really inspired by the depth chart on the Kraken there to not give this guy a shot. I don't think there's really a reason he should be starting the season in Coachella. I don't know if it's something that the coaching staff don't like about him or whatever the word is coming out of the Pacific Northwest, but I guess I'm going to have to hold off until I buy my Podorolski Kraken jersey.
My hot take on that is because the depth isn't that desirable and it is a brand new franchise and they're dealing with the first several months basically being on the road, they need him to be there until they can get situated and then he can be the main call up. But yeah, still, with all that being said, swipe right. Justice for Potts.
How has this guy not gotten the promotion after torturing the AHL for all these years? I mean, he tortured in the East, he tortured in the West, he got all the way up to a Calder Cup office. How is this guy not, you know, it's a pretty cut and dried case to earn a bid in the NHL. I'm with you on this one, Andrew, is I don't know how he didn't do enough to deserve the chance to start in the NHL. To me, it's a no-brainer. You know, I could get on board with the theory that he's gonna, you know, get called up after a certain amount of time has passed. But to me, it's like, you know, the guy's earned it far and away enough, in my opinion, to be on the NHL roster. I don't get that one either.
So this isn't the words that any of you want to hear or Podorowski, but I see it just for the, just this for Pods. But there's a part of me that has to believe that there has to be some sort of captaincy leadership role with him within the club. And I think that especially given where they're going to be on the road so much, they're going to be bouncing around. And you admitted yourself last season that he was such a power play specialist. So under Dan Bylsma and his great, interesting power play tactics and antics, I would have to think that there would have to be somewhere of a connection. And I think that come Christmas time, that will be his Christmas present. Is he going to get called up to the NHL when the Kraken just aren't doing that good and are looking to get somewhere close to a playoff spot? So for me, I got to swipe left. I'm sorry, buddy.
So close to having the first sweep of the season. All right. Well, I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I have some very strong feelings about this, that the AHL needs a more formal / structured preseason. I mean, the NHL has it, but it's just so haphazard right now with some teams doing preseason games, the others just holding very private inter-squad scrimmages. And I personally would like to see a rule that, okay, you have to play X amount of preseason games. I mean, I could see if they would make an exception for, say, Colorado, because they're kind of on an island there. But some of these other teams are so close that you think they could travel to one game or host one preseason game.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I mean, the Wolves will be doing a bit of a home and home with the Admirals this weekend as their preseason, but the Griffins are just kind of like we're going to have a camp and we're going to show up and we're going to, you know, hang around the campfire and cook s'mores and tell scary stories, but that's really the extent of their training camp. I would like to see, again, just a couple games for everyone to kind of get everything rolling and just be a little more uniform with it, I guess. And I love what the NHL does and like how they'll be having a preseason game in Belleville. And, you know, you can have these players kind of relive some of that. Have the Monsters and the Griffins meet up in Toledo or something like that, or do like a local rink and just kind of, you know, step out of your comfort zone a little bit and just kind of gain more interest in the league and in the sport and everything. I'm with you on that, Dina. I swipe right.
So I see it from a couple different points of view. I'll let you know after how I kind of vote with this. So I do believe that a lot of teams do have Young Stars tournaments and all these other tournaments where a lot of AHL talent would go. I know that the Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, Winnipeg circuit has one. There's Montreal, Buffalo, and they have their circuit. So there's a couple different circuits around. But the way I kind of see it is, what's the benefit to not having one? Right? Like, what would actually benefit you besides cost and money to not having one tomorrow? And you know what? Put it in a market where who's desperate for a club in the AHL, let alone the ECHL. Put it down in a couple SPHLs. Let's go down to Roanoke. Let's go down to like Miami. Let's go like let's do this. If we're gonna do this, we may as well do it right. Then let's do it like the NHL. The NHL, the Toronto and Ottawa was down in Belleville, and the crowd showed up. They seem happy enough because they'd love to have an NHL squad. They just can't. But you know what? Why not put it in an ECHL squad? But there's no real downside to this. You're printing off a couple jerseys. You're promoting your team. Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to super swipe this. This is going to be my first super swipe of the year because there's absolutely no reason for this not to happen. None. I cannot find one.
I appreciate you.
Well, I got a little bit of a hot take on this one, in that mine is going to lean more towards a left swipe. And I'll tell you why, because there's a little bit of variation with the schedule. Now, I will admit fully, from a Hershey standpoint, we are very steeped in our traditions over here. We always have three preseason games. Hershey hosts one, and they, you know, usually go away for two, and it's always local. You know, they're blessed in that way. Some teams are not, and, you know, in some instances, you know, some teams have different formatted things. Like, I know there's the Traverse City tournament, prospect tournament. You know, from a Washington standpoint, they actually axed participating in prospect tournaments over the last couple of seasons. And, you know, part of that was, you know, due to COVID for a couple of years. But you look back at the 2019 squad, the Bears got absolutely decimated by injuries in a prospect tournament, of all things, where they lost Cody Clark, Riley Sutter, Alex Alexiev, all guys that were incoming. And of course, Alexiev, I believe, was able to return in time, but it very much, I think it set back Clark and Sutter 3 months at least until they actually made their debuts for the Bears. And a little bit of that was just because of Hershey's roster being so stacked. But, you know, it seemed like that was kind of the reason for the Capitals, at least, to kind of axe that, that type of preseason tournament, because of those injuries, and, you know, hold something a little differently, you know, in-house, get some scrimmages in, and, you know, lead into the main camp. So I do agree to the extent that there should be a minimum amount of games. Cause I mean, you know, much to Zach's point there, you know, it really doesn't kill a team to, you know, go play somewhere else and host a game, you know, to get a little bit of excitement going. And, you know, preseason's not going to be everybody's draw for sure. I mean, I know, you know, I'm always excited for preseason. I'm that kind of weird. There's a lot of people in Hershey I know that say, Talk to me when it counts type of thing, you know, like it's not their forte. So, and, you know, it's understandable, but, you know, you have a lot of interesting different events. Like, we just saw St. Louis announce that they are going to be doing a series of practices down in Charleston, North Carolina, home of the Bears ECHL affiliate, the South Carolina Stingrays. And I saw that and I immediately said, why can't we see Washington come to Hershey a little bit more often? You know, some teams, you know, like to do that sort of thing. Some teams don't. I think there should be a little bit more regulation in terms to a set amount of games and, you know, a little bit more AHL exposure from NHL teams. So I will give it a swipe left for the reasons of, you know, injuries and, you know, letting teams manage their prospects in that way. But I do agree there should be at least a minimum to achieve for that, for sure.
I would like to propose to the powers that be Grand Rapids versus Cleveland in either Kalamazoo or Toledo next season.
Why not both?
Both would be great, but let's get one step at a time. So, Corey, you're next. I'm sorry, I skipped over you. My brain is fully in preseason mode.
Oh, it's okay. I'm giving you guys a little bit of a softball for my first one here, but it's just the way we do in the preseason. We're getting our takes warmed up. But this season, 72 games across the board, no more points percentage. I am happy. I am okay with sacrificing four games of Hershey's 76. And, you know, if you're out west, you got to add four more to get on even playing field. But I will not have to do math to determine standings and then do a tiebreaker after that in some cases. And I am very happy for that. His last season going down to the wire, it was a little painful to do. So I am very okay with a uniform season across the board.
Can I ask a question? Who benefited from that? Who was like, yep, points percentage, you know what? We should have everybody play however many games you want. You want to play 13 games? By all means, go for it. Who did that?
I mean, the Wolves played a lot of games, and they did get the number one seed at the last day of the season. So that probably
happened.
I mean, I'm very grateful that they only had to see three games in that awful Stockton arena. So I, for that alone, I'll take it. But I'm going to right swipe on this because I am not a math guy. I am a words guy.
I'm just so relieved that I don't have to sit there and figure out, again, math, because I'm no good at math. and trying to figure out possible projections or different scenarios, especially going down to the end of the season when you are totally dealing with points percentage and there's a huge discrepancy on how many teams have how many games left. And it was all way too much for this brain. And I'm going to follow Zach's lead and I'm going to use my super swipe on episode one. I'm just so relieved.
Yeah, I'm swiping right on this. There's no doubt about it. Like, there's nothing else to say.
And the biggest point to it, just one more thing real quick, is that if your teams like Springfield would be tremendously happy for this because they also similarly got the rug pulled out from under them and lost their first overall spot to Charlotte, even though they had at least five more points. You know, it was all points percentage game. You know, it's one of those things in the same division, no less, too. I don't know if that's completely unique to that scenario in the Atlantic with Charlotte, but, you know, hadn't that been a closer series between the two teams, that home ice could have factored in just a little bit more if it had been anything but a 2-3, in my opinion.
And Zach's going to take us home for this segment.
Yeah, there's no home here. It's a crowded house, okay? And I've been spending my whole summer dreaming up this spicy hot take, okay? There's no way that the Calgary Wranglers are going to go a full season without any cancellations or postponements or moving to another rink at all. It's not possible. We have the NHL. We have the WHL. We have the lacrosse crowd. I mean, it's just not possible. My magic number is 6, but I'm willing to negotiate for the right buyer. You know, Wrangler, the famous Gene, they're hoping not to be the bell bottom of the league this year. It's just not going to be possible in that rink.
Well, we're already in midseason form.
That was awesome, Zach. Wow. Have all the teams released their schedules yet? Maybe.
I know Calgary has released their home ones at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that they're going to kind of, you know, obviously they're not going to double book any of these teams or anything. My concern is now I'm starting to wonder the quality of the ice when it's been, you're the you know, the latest team to come in there. You might have kind of like last pick. And if they are going to move anyone, it might end up being the Wranglers. But 6 is a lot as well. I know we're going to negotiate. If you give me like 3, I can swipe on that. I can swipe right on that. I can swipe right on 3. I think.
When did we start negotiating swipes?
I started negotiating swipes a long time ago. I don't know, or before I became a member of this pod, that's for sure.
I did not know that was a thing. Okay. I learned something new every episode about this whole swiping deal.
It's like looking for marriage, maybe not, kind of deal, right?
Okay.
You got to read the profile sometimes. Yeah, yeah. You can't just judge on the pictures. There's a fine
print to everything, right?
Well,
vibes.
I guess the fine print meets my number. I was going to try to talk you down to 4, but since he talked you down to 3, I guess I can swipe right on this. I mean, that ice, I hope we don't have another Stockton-type issue here.
I hope the players don't have another Stockton-type issue. They've already had to deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, at least they were like good enough with it that they managed to carry themselves into the playoffs with it. But
it doesn't matter. If they have that same type of issue, they can just get called up to the NHL and play on the same bad ice.
True.
We just walk across the hallway.
I'm going to go controversial and I'm going to swipe left on this one. I think they're going to figure it out. Can't be any worse than, you know, how Stockton's was a year ago. I think they'll figure this one out. And I don't think it's, you know, it's a little unusual for that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to be fine.
All right. Now we're moving into a brand new segment. Who's hot and who's not? So this is a brand new segment for the season, but it's going to be a little bit different this show. Moving forward, we're going to be talking about which player was hot this week and which players were not so much. But obviously, we can't be commenting on players yet because we haven't even seen preseason game action by the time we're, you know, as of the time we're recording this. So for this week only, we're going to be picking a team that we predict will be hot this season based upon their off-season moves, and which team just will not. So Andrew, once again, kick it off.
For sure. So I got a couple of Central Division teams here for you. It's kind of my forte, so I figured it'd be appropriate. For hot, I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Admirals. And I really like some of the moves that they've brought in on top of their ridiculous goaltending depth as it is. I mean, if you're thinking about, you know, Connor Ingram, Devin Cooley, and you add Yaroslav Askarov in there, it's a three-headed absolute monster. And kind of like following in their namesake, they decided to pillage the Colorado Eagles of all of their talent. You got Kiefer Sherwood, Jordan Gross, and Roland McEwen coming in. Two of those were all-stars last year, and you're adding it up into a lineup that's already featuring some big guns like Tommy Novak. With a lot of changes going on in the Central, I think the Admirals are going to be kind of my house favorite to the preseason pick for the Central Division. I really like what they got going on there. On the opposite end of that spectrum, I'm going with the tried and true Iowa Wild as the not. I think that they're going to be losing. They're not going to have the Matt Boldies, or I don't even know if about Marco Rossi. He might end up going on up there to Minnesota. So you're really not left with a whole lot of scoring talent, and they're losing their tried and true veteran captain, the retirement Cody McLeod. So I wonder if there's a bit of an identity crisis there now that they're leading the leading goon in that goon squad isn't there. They're going to be kind of twisting it around a little bit. I don't know what's going to be going on in America's heartland in Iowa, but I'm not feeling totally sold on the Wild.
For me, I'm going to stay a little bit biased because I've just been raving about these moves for the entire summer. But for me in the Atlantic, I really think that the Bears are reloaded and they're ready to go. I've been watching a lot of the interviews going on here. They, picked up a couple of key pieces, and let's just be real here. They got blown out with injuries to both their staff and to Washington. Recalls obliterated their offense. They got a lot of their teeth back with, signing Sam Anas from, the reigning Eastern Conference champion Springfield Thunderbirds, brought back Aaron Ness, who was, the AHL's leading scoring defenseman back in 2019. They got a couple of stud prospects coming in from Washington and Hendrix LaPierre and Vincent Iorio. Losing Phoenix Copley, I think, hurts them the most in goal just because he was such a steady, calming presence back there. But, I really think it's Zach Fucale and Hunter Shepard's time to shine. I mean, Shepard's, been kind of just edged out as the number three guy for so long. He's proven on, multiple occasions, to me at least, that, he's capable of handling, the 1A or 1B kind of role with the Bears. So I'm really excited to see all of those pieces combine. And hopefully, it, from all intents and purposes, I can see is a team that's confident to score some goals. And, it's everything that a Bears fan that was upset with last season would want in the summer, I think, with the direction they went, for sure. And as for who's not, I'm, a little disappointed to say that I'm going to pick on the Lehigh Valley Phantoms a little bit here so far in the Atlantic. Listen, I'm a Flyers fan, for life type of thing. I always say I'm, here for life with these guys. I just don't see how the Phantoms aren't going to be ravaged by call-ups, experimentation. John Tortorella has already said that he wants to play the kids. There's a lot of guys up there, a lot of kids that have some promise. I would expect them to rotate through a lot of guys which will, you know, although the fandoms do have some a core group of veterans that I really like. Cal O'Reilly's back. You know, you got your Isaac Ratcliffe, who's, you know, been there for a while. You know, just a couple of steady guys. Troy Grosnick's there in net. You know, provided that Carter Hart and Felix Sandstrom stay healthy. You know, there's a lot of questions of health, even as we speak right now with the Flyers, who are in the middle of a game and have, you know, half of their starting lineup out with possible injury at this point. I just don't see how it's not a running trend that's going to just run roughshod on the Phantoms and make it hard on them this season to compete in the year where otherwise I think they'd do much better, honestly, than last season.
Well, I'm going to follow Corey up with a former beat bias here, but I really like how the Cleveland Monsters are potentially positioned to enter this season. Columbus is coming off of a couple of really, really strong drafts to where they are now loaded with some top-end prospects. I mean, Cleveland has the possibility of Kirill Marchenko coming in. He's spent the last four seasons in the KHL, has been impressive. Especially coming onto a different size of ice, you have the possibility of, I mean, I've seen rumors that maybe Kent Johnson might be spending some time in Cleveland, kind of getting a little bit more used to the pro game before and getting used to the center position, which in the limited pro game action he's had, looks really good. You have the potential of Jake Christensen coming back on defense. You still have Dylan Simpson there, very experienced D-man that can switch over to forward if needed. But I think with the amount of prospects that Columbus has on two-way contracts right now or on entry-level contracts, they don't need that. And net, wow, are they getting stocked up. So, of course, up on the big club, more than likely, assuming everybody stays healthy, you got Elvis Merzlikens and Jonas Korpisalo. Backing that up, you have Daniil Tarasov, which, you know, he's recovering from a bit of an injury, but he actually played in a preseason game. So he's getting back into game form. You have Jet Greaves, which, I mean, the season before last didn't even play because his league opted out, played his way into, or was originally offered a two-way ECHL deal, played his way into an NHL entry-level contract. And then out of nowhere, you have Pavel Chayon coming in, impressing at the Traverse City tournament. He's just done quite well for himself. And then there's another goalie prospect, Nolan Lalonde, that came in as a free agent invite for this preseason, walking out with an entry-level deal from the Jackets. Just all in all, they have made some really strong moves. If nothing else, it's going to be way more entertaining, and at least it'll be better than last season. Now, for who's not, Andrew, don't hurt me, but I've got to go Chicago. I think there's so many question marks surrounding that Wolves team. You have an exodus of the top players. I mean, Stefan Nason is still sitting up with the Carolina Hurricanes, so they might not even have him back. I mean, they've lost who? Like CJ Smith. We already talked about Andrew Podorowski.
Josh Levo, Jack Curry, David Gus, their entire second line. Basically, everyone on the blue line except Max Lajoie or Kevin Fitzgerald.
Alex Lyon.
They're definitely suffering from success.
Is that the reason why he gave the double birds at the end? Because he knew that nobody was coming back and he was upset about it. I mean,
I don't know, but that's still a legendary move in my opinion.
So I just think there's too many question marks, but not to jump, you know, topics, but I want to know who actually does get that first. If Alex Lyon goes back to the AHL, Gavin Bayreuther is definitely going to be with the Monsters to start. Who gets their two-game suspension out of the way first, Bayreuther or Lyon? They're both waiting on it.
My money's on Bayreuther. Charlotte or Cleveland?
My money is on Bayreuther just because he's not a goalie. Just fun fact that we have suspensions already for this season, just carried over. So
that is incredible.
Yep.
Well, for me, I am I'm kind of Pacific Division heavy here, but I will say this: I am excited to see the San Diego Gulls this year. I think that they made a lot of promising moves over the year, over the summer, and I think that they're going to be headed up by a good head coach. And I would say, if it's not Dan Bylsma, he's a good close second, someone who has a lot of AHL coaching experience, a lot of AHL experience in general, rather. And so I look up and down their lineup. A couple of standouts: Hunter Drew, Sam Benoit, and Axel Anderson on the defense core alone. And never mind Lucas Dostal in net and Ollie Eriksson Ek in net. So I look at them and I think of a team that can actually run up against a team like Ontario. These guys are going to play a lot. They're going to run up against the San Jose squad. I think they can do it. Tucson, another team who's made some good strides in the offseason, but would they beat San Diego at this point? I don't know. But when I look at the Pacific Division, who's gotten considerably weaker over this offseason, that's a team that has kind of bulked up in small increments. And I think that those little changes could mean the world, or the division at least, for them. A team that hasn't really done anything over the summer, and we kind of talked a little bit about it, is the San Jose Barracuda. I think we were talking about it at some point in the middle of the season where we said, you know what, there's just, in the middle of the summer rather, where there's just no real big moves, there's no substance, there's no nothing to say, yes, this is the team that's going to win the Pacific Division. These guys are going to beat Stockton. These guys are going to beat Hershey. These guys are going to win. There's nothing there that kind of gives me that wow factor. I know that they had that prospect there last year. I'm blanking on his name now. Starts with an S. But either way, it's here we are, right? That's how memorable this team is. I can't even remember their top scorer last year. So here we are. I don't think that they're going to really do a whole lot.
Scott Reedy.
There you go.
Everybody, we almost had a plus, wasn't it? Didn't we go down to the roster one day?
I mean, he was very much. I mean, he would have looked great at the leaderboard and the PGA Championship, but his plus minus was not looking good there in San Jose.
He's one of the best flows in the league.
He does, yeah. He was pretty beautiful with the lettuce there. I'm actually really intrigued in San Jose, only for former Wolves goalie Etu Makaniemi. I think that might be the most interesting piece going on there for the Barracuda. He looked really good before he got hurt in December and then just never managed to come back. So if he's healthy and he's playing well,
he
surprised a couple teams. That was a really bad season last year. I hope they can just put it behind them and keep going forward here.
So I'm actually doing a season preview on the San Jose Barracuda. So you basically, what I'm hearing is there is something good to write about, right?
Is there?
With Makaniemi?
Yeah. Yes.
There's something good there.
I mean, if he's healthy, yes, of course. He was one of the big pieces coming over in that Brent Burns trade, and I thought he had a great opening to the season. He might have lost one or two games in regulation, and maybe it was a product of being on an absolute juggernaut of a team, but I thought he looked fantastic, looked very calm in that, and it was the injury, and then once Kochekov came over and kind of established himself as the next up-and-coming franchise goalie for Carolina, it made Maki kind of expendable, so when it came time to trade for an all-timer defenseman, there Maki was kind of the guy to go. And I hope he does succeed in San Jose. I really don't want to look in January and see a 3 in the goals against average for him. Maki deserves better than that.
Who knows? Maybe he's the difference maker. But we're going to move on here to the game of the week. We are talking preseason games, of course, but game action nonetheless. So Andrew, Corey, and Zach have their picks for you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to start off with, this Friday we got Milwaukee coming into Hoffman Estates, where the Chicago Wolves will be hosting their practice arena, the first of their two preseason games. And it's I feel like, you know, you kind of have the big names here that are returning from that Calder Cup squad. You got Jameson Rees, Vasily Ponomarev. Hopefully Ryan Suzuki's healthy. He's been really kind of battling injuries kind of since I started on the beat. But then you got a lot of interesting names, and some of them are including former first round pick Brendan Perlini that are in on a tryout, and longtime reliable NHL defender Jason Garrison at 37 years old. He's still hanging around, and I love to see it. I hope he gets a contract. And well, I mean, I don't think it's a fish. I don't know. I saw he was added, but I don't know if it's an official thing yet. The team hasn't announced it, so I'm not going to say it. But another name to look out for, Alexander Pashin. During the prospect tournament, he scored just another one of those lacrosse goals that's just becoming more and more common and has all these angry boomers punching the air right now as I'm talking about it. But I still think that, like, okay, it's not the juggernaut team that it was last year, but I think there's a lot of intrigue that's and a lot of job opportunities that are out there, and it's whoever wants it and whoever the new coach Shahan thinks has earned it. And this is where it all starts.
Yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of a selfish route here for me. I'm going to go with two games here. And that's tomorrow. This will be in the past by the time that this podcast episode drops. But at 10:30 a.m. start time tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to listening to that. There's something about morning games that, you know, it happens just like once or twice a year for, you know, some reason for a lot of teams. And like, I just think it's kind of fun. You know, it's the first bit of action that we have there. It'd be fun to just, you know, take it in, even if it's just going to be on a listening side for me. And conversely, it'll be the last game of the preseason slate this coming Sunday. You guys are going to have to help me because I'm not used to this month just yet. I believe is the 9th when the Bears will host the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins in their last preseason game at Giant Center. It's not only just the chance to, you know, get in, see the Bears a little bit a week early before the season starts off, but this is going to be probably as close to the starting roster as we're going to see. I'm anticipating that Washington is going to, you know, and Pittsburgh on the other side of the table here, they're going to be holding back some of their last cuts until, you know, very much towards the end of the time where they have to, you know, unveil their opening night rosters type of thing. So, you know, this will hopefully be as close to whether those cuts are will or will not happen. This will be as close to the opening night roster for both teams as we're going to see here. And it's going to be a chance to, you know, get set and get familiar with these guys for what's going to be another long and arduous season series between the two teams. And, you know, just a chance to get a look at some guys. I mean, Hendrix LaPierre should be playing, Vincent Iorio, you know, some guys that we're going to, you know, expecting really big things out of this season. You know, the Bears didn't have a top prospect, first rounder, I should say more accurately, last season because, you know, Connor McMichael never came back to us or anything like that. So it's going to be fun to see, you know, have that interesting layer along with a few other players and, you know, just to really get familiar with the team. So I can't wait to get back in the building on Sunday.
Yeah. And for me, it's got to be a clash that's coming up this weekend, and that's going to be between San Diego and Ontario. Yeah. Ontario has had a couple of changes over the course of this summer. They'll be playing without Martin Ferk. Byfield is graduating. It's been a tough year for them in a year that last year, like I said, was really theirs to have besides Stockton and Chicago. And so when we talk about the goals, who I mentioned so much about before, it'll be kind of a good clash between them two. That's something that I'm looking forward to this year. They played last year in the playoffs, and of course the goals just couldn't play spoiler in that. But it was an overtime loss that would actually finish the series there. May I add as well, in the NHL's Fossil Arena, the Dinos and the Wranglers will be playing against each other. The winner will get the 10 a.m. practice slot at the Winsport Arena. Mwah. It'll be a nice preseason game, the University of Calgary Dinos and the AHL's Calgary Wranglers on Tuesday.
I'm not kidding. I want to find a hoodie or a toque or something with that logo on it because that is that's just an amazing logo. All right, guys, one last segment to go, and that is the bonus round. I'm going to get us kicked off with the season, but the bonus round I'm calling, wait, I know that name. So I want to test your guys' knowledge of player names. So what I have is five pictures that are going to be clues to a player name. So what I need for you to do is to tell me which player I'm trying to get you to guess. So for instance, if I show a picture of a cross and a baby boy, that's Christian, son, Jake Christensen.
Oh, okay.
So, got it? Maybe? Okay, let me get this pulled up here. All right. So just the first person who can figure it out, this is your first clue. So this one is a first name, last name that is shown on the picture. And I can give you guys some clues if needed.
Jack Quinn?
Yes, Jack Quinn. We have the Jack-o'-lanterns and Harley Quinn. Okay, this one, it's a little bit backwards, but it is a last name then first name.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Cody Glass.
Cody Glass, the 404 error code, and a glass of water. All right, so Andrew, Corey tied at one. Now we're moving on to this.
Jack Rathbone.
Yes. There you go. We have the Grapes of Wrath and a bone. All right, now, so we're all tied up at one. Here's the next one.
Ethan Walker?
Nope.
Oh, he's Australian.
No, he's Australian, not British.
Oh, I know the answer to this one. I just can't think of the name. I think.
Is it Jack something?
No, it is not Jack something.
Okay.
But it is a first name, last name that is shown here.
Okay, this is going to be a little bit of a stretch, but it's not Liam Kirk, is it?
No, it is not.
It's the first person I thought of with the British flag there.
So I guess I'll give you a hint. There's a reason why I had to crop this Grand Theft Auto game, because the player's first name would be shown if I hadn't.
Oh, it's Andreas Englund.
Yes, it is.
For some reason, I was thinking Los Santos. I don't know. That's clearly San Andreas.
Yep. All right. So Andrew's in the lead with two. I have one more for you guys. I kind of like this one. This one's kind of fun. This is only a last name on here. And if you need a hint, let me know.
Mm-hmm. It's not Lionheart, is it?
No, it is not.
I have no idea.
Okay. This is a goalie. A very experienced, tenured goalie.
Can we get like the Jeopardy theme going? Probably not, because there's
Can
only.
Can you give us a division? Or conference?
Wait, I got to see where he was last season. So last year this player was in the Central. This year he's out in the Pacific.
I think I know who it is, but I want to give the other guys a chance to answer first, maybe?
I got nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I was going to say, if you know, I have no, I'm not, I'm nothing.
Is it Pickard?
It is. Yeah. Pick, hard hat, pick, Pickard. Pickard.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, that's it. So Andrew, Andrew takes it for this week. All right, guys, that's it for this episode of the Holy Grail podcast. Thank you so much for coming back for season two, or if this is your first time with us, thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to see or hear more of us, please subscribe to us on our YouTube channel or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at the Holy Grail. Also, check out all of Field Pass Hockey's other podcasts. You have Inside the SPHL with James Hayes, the Three Periods podcast with Matthew Harding, and then you have Syracuse Speaks with Alexander Ackerman, which is a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast, and maybe, just maybe, Monsters Musings might be returning. That's still in the works, but stay tuned. We'll have more news on that later. But on behalf of all of us here at the Holy Grail, we hope you have an amazing week, and we're going to catch you next Thursday when we have a very special guest joining us. Can't drop the details just yet, but trust me, you'll want to be here. So that's it for this week. See you guys.
This has been the Holy Grail Podcast. Have a question or a topic suggestion? Hit us up on Twitter or drop us an email. For the latest news across the American Hockey League and the rest of minor league hockey, download the Field Pass Hockey app, now available in the Apple and Android app stores.
Do you want to try that again, Corey?
Go for it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I was going to say, hasn't Podorowski tortured... I think I just stepped
over. He keeps stepping.
Yeah.
Poor Zach is lagged.
A little bit. Yeah, you're frozen a bit there, Zach.
Corey will start again in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hang on.
Go.
I'm almost there.
Every time we try to get them going. All right, I think we're good.
I was about to say, I wasn't starting yet.